Hello and welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Bolin, and we're going to continue our MCU adventures with Thor Dark World.
Thor 2, The Dark World.
Yes.
The eighth film in the MCU
out of the 20 that we have.
Yes. And so we're going to continue this adventure. This is going to be the first one under the Disney umbrella, but they're still doing their hands off. And I'm joined again with Larry and Ethan.
Hello.
And so we're just going to dive right in. We're going to do this down and dirty because a couple of the podcasts have been running long, and we're so anxious to get to the next field. They're going to be awesome. So now this one, just like the last one with Iron Man 3, this opens with Odin talking.
Flashback. No real music, no scene.
Just a hard open.
Cold open.
Open.
And again, he's going back to the ancient times.
Yes. To his father.
Bor.
So thousands of years ago.
He talks about the nine worlds of the realm.
The nine realms of the universe and the convergence. Very important.
Convergence of the nine realms.
And about how it's just all the realms were fighting with each other and how his father, Odin's father, helped get that under control. Then modern times.
And part of who he was fighting then were the Dark Elves.
The Dark Elves were because the baddies.
Because they want, they're even till today, they want everything converted back to the way they were.
The Dark Times. Exactly, where they were the rulers, or at least they were in power.
And that was, their realms were the dark, and they used dark energy and all that stuff. That was and what they want their world like, not how we have it today.
And their superpower, so to speak, was, or super item was the ether. This like fluid, like goop kind of thing that has enormous, massive power that the Dark Elves controlled.
Yes, it's part of the dark energy. Because Odin, when the Bifrost was destroyed, had to use dark energy to get Thor to Earth. Because Loki does say, how much dark energy did father have to use to get you back here to Earth? They're talking about all the
Loki's back. Loki's not dead because at the end of Thor, remember he falls off off the edge by where the Bifrost was, and we assume he's dead or gone or something, but he's not, of course.
Yes. So now they were brought to modern times, and Jane Foster and everybody's still around.
Jane Foster, Eric Selvig,
and they're all in London.
Not New Mexico, New Mexico's ancient history. They reference New Mexico a little bit.
That was 2 years ago because she says it's been 2 years since he's been around.
Correct.
And so so we kind of give an
idea. Chronologically is actually correct. The original Thor came out in 2011.
Yes.
This released in 2013. So chronologically, it's accurate.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, and this doesn't have anybody else in it except for the people from Thor's world.
Correct. There's no cameos by Captain America or
anybody.
There's no Shield involved.
There's no Shield. They mention Shield. Shield's mentioned briefly,
Because she's on out on a date for the first time apparently.
In London, a swanky place.
Then her assistant shows up and goes, "You really need to start looking at your equipment because these readings are off the chart." And she eats a whole bunch of food and leaves. And then she and Jane's like, "I can't concentrate."
She was really didn't want the date to happen.
She was apparently talked into going on one, and it just didn't work out because a mere mortal against a god. No matter who she goes out.
You're talking about Jane Foster, Not about. Who's the? What's his name?
Thor.
Give me Queen Amidala any day.
But after having what they call him in Infinity War, Angel Viking.
There you go.
But so she's like distracted. She finally goes out to the car. She shows the equipment. Things are going off the charts on there, so they go chase it down. So they go to this area, and it's an abandoned factory of some sort. It's almost like a Matrix thing because gravity is not
It's suspended. There's like these,
and there are these kids who are there who have been like, and they show her they like throw things into
the shoes or aluminum,
and then it comes
lands.
Comes back.
Yeah, from, it falls through a dimension and reappears.
Right, above disappears. Them. Right.
So goes down and then reappears above them.
Right. So the laws of physics are totally suspended. Right,
yes,
right,
and right. There's dimensional portals opened up all over the place, and so they're like, "Holy crap! What's going on here?"
Right.
And what happens to Jane? She accidentally gets pulled into one.
Right. She falls into it, and then she's on like where the ether is, basically. Yes. She discovers
where the ether was banned.
Right.
Where Odin's father told them to put it somewhere where nobody would find it.
Right. But of course, somebody does find it.
Well, yeah, it's because the portal, the portals are all broken and everything opened up, so they happen to be there. Right.
Because the convergence is about to happen, and that's
all the realms and everything are opening up to help with the convergence.
Correct. So that's why the physics is off. In Earth and all the realms, basically.
Yes, yeah. And so they explain why later on in the movie about how all the Stonehenge and the pyramids and everything, everything crosses. If you line everything up, the crossing point is
Greenwich. You're right, Greenwich. England. Now, I will say this. I love the movie. I don't want to just say this. And again, I said this before with Thor. The Thor series is my favorite of the Avengers superheroes. But as we're talking, and we'll talk here, this one has nothing to do with Thor 1 or Thor 3. I mean, there's no connection to the greater it's part of the MCU, but it's not a plot thread that you must see. I mean, it's a must-see movie for me. I know I'm jumping ahead.
Well, James Foster's in it and like this, but there is no other connection to any of the previous movies.
Right.
Iron Man 1, 2, or 3.
Nothing really. Well, I mean, it continues from Thor 1.
Right.
And Thor fighting in the Battle of New York is referenced as well, but yet... Again, there's no direct connection.
It's not like a missing chapter. If you skip this, it's not going to impact things.
Right. But I still love the movie. I love the movie.
It did. They introduced Thor's mom and
Thor's mom was in the first one, but she has a much greater role. In this one,
fabulous role.
Right, Renee Russo plays Thor's mom, and they show that she's a warrior herself. I mean,
why Odin fell in love with her. Oh, and they bring in the book in. The history book.
Yes, right. Which looks like a Greek Orthodox Bible, like the character,
or like a medieval text.
Medieval text, yes.
And it's animated, which they do the same thing in Thor 3.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I
like how they lay the foundation. They lay some foundation here, but it's not impactful if you happen to skip this.
Okay. I mean, but to really understand Thor's love for Jane Foster.
Odin goes like, you can't really love a mortal.
But he does.
He tells him that they don't live that long.
Right, but you can live 5,000 years, right?
You can live 5,000 years. She's only going to live a few decades.
Maybe 100,
It's really funny coming from Odin because he's gone to Earth several times in the past, disguised himself as a mortal, beds women, has children by them, and goes back. Oh, yeah, that's the mythology of Odin. Then he comes back to Asgard, and then he's got all these half-kids running around. And it just...
A lot of half-children, right.
Yes.
He picks them up from other planets, they become his sons,
He's
a collector.
But how dare he say that? Because he's like, you shouldn't... unless he's speaking from experience, he needs to want... His heart broken, his heart's been broken.
Well, I think what Odin's doing there is, one, he has the ether in her, so he thinks she's not... Remember,
because she gets exposed to the ether, it sucks into her, she comes back to the Earth
realm. She comes back. And she's missing for 5 days, because...
5 hours.
5 hours, I'm sorry, five hours. Because they call the police.
And then she goes like, you can't call the police, because, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to show up.
Exactly, that's the only real mention of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, yeah, that's the only time they touch on anything else outside the Thor universe.
Correct. I thought that was funny though. She's like, why? You just had this weird stuff goo go into your body, and you're worried about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. showing up in London. I mean,
And then who shows up?
Thor shows up. Right.
Don't forget the Bifrost is fixed.
Correct. Right. So he pops in London.
He's like, hey, what's up?
Right.
Yo, dudes, I'm back.
Well, kind of, sort of, but right.
Right.
This one has a lot more. I mean, there's comedy in the first Thor, but this one has a lot more comedic elements. You know, the again, when he walks in the apartment of Jane at the London apartment.
He, like, and he hangs the hammer out.
Exactly, like very, very like,
he sees
like
the delicate. Coats and he's like,
but still not as much humor as Ragnarok.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Kevin Smith.
Right, exactly.
but he's like, I guess I'll put this here.
Right there. Right.
And just,
I thought it like pulled the whole wall down or something.
I really thought the hammer was going to crash to the floor.
Right. That's what I thought.
But it's not like, you know, it's
he's not used,
it's
he's
an animated object. It's not like the Captain America argument that you could put the hammer in an elevator and the elevator will raise it up and down. So it just, the hook isn't going to.
Right. You know. But there's a lot of funny, like, you know, little jokes. You know, when he appears, she slaps him.
Yeah.
Like, why that? He's like, I want to make sure you're real.
Then right. She slaps him again.
Because... That was for New York.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, where were you? You know, I mean, right. I was here in New, you know, so.
Yeah.
I'll touch on this, and you know, overall, we were saying this. Thor 2 is not. You could skip it if you have to. Of course, I would say never. But to understand Loki, to understand Odin, and again, Odin's history and his father, Thor,
yeah, because he goes into it
very much. Like, I mean, but I'm saying just the fleshing of Loki. You know, the dynamic of Loki and Thor, the dynamic of Loki and his father, mm-hmm. and of course his mother. You know, yeah. His. I think they make these characters very deep in this movie.
You know, he also breaks the law of Odin, because Odin tells him not to go.
Yes, he commits treason.
Yeah, he does.
He commits treason to save to get rid of the ether.
Well, yeah, from... I forgot the reason why Thor brings Jane Foster to Asgard.
I think he's just trying to escape.
Well, it's no, just, right. Because they're on Earth, and you know, does she get sick at that point?
Yeah, like, I think she is sick already. He noticed that she's sick.
Oh, crap.
And yeah,
I think it's because isn't it because Thor realizes that she has the ether?
I think he already.
Because the cops try to arrest her, and she blasts them away.
Right.
And he goes, "Uh oh."
He goes, "I've seen this shit before."
Right, exactly. So, and this is not normal for Jane Foster. Yeah, let's get you.
Then
right.
he goes like, "Well, the only, you know, Earth can't handle this, so right. therefore so he calls her." The Bifrost, and they go back up. They have their scientists look at her, and they're like, "Oh, wow, she's got this shit in her, and her body can't handle this because she's immortal.
She's immortal, so she's doomed." Yeah. And that's what we're saying. Odin says, "You can't love this woman."
And Thor went down there originally because when she goes into the portal, Heimdall couldn't see her.
And he's like, that's why he went down. Yeah,
right.
And he's like, holy crap, where did she go? Because he sees everything
but he could not see her.
Yeah, so she bleeped out of existence, and so now she's there. She's like, oh, you're Odin. Yeah, this is my dad, and oh, that's my mom.
Right.
So is that as an awkward situation? Because you only meet the parents when things are serious, and then it's just like, oh,
this is serious. She has this ether in her, and
she's gonna die, and the ether's gonna get released and destroy Asgard. But here's my mom and dad.
Right. Let's have dinner now.
And then meanwhile, also, Odin has locked Loki up in the jail in the cell in the palace because of all the stuff he had done previously in the Avengers.
Yes, right. So he's being punished and he's locked up, and all the other the Warriors 3 come back, and there's got other soldiers.
Other prisoners of war,
and then
basically.
One of the dark elves sneaks a warrior through that, and he gets passed. The guards.
They
throw him in a cell, and he's like, okay, I'm here, and I'm here just to sacrifice myself because I'm supposed to break everybody out, cause chaos, so we're able to then attack Asgard.
Right, exactly, right.
And find out where the dark,
where the origin of the ether is.
They realize that it's back in this dimension.
Correct, right. And that's
trace it back to Jane Foster, who's on Asgard.
I would say Melchior. What's the bad elf? I'm sorry, his name. It's
no, that's right. I think it's Melchior.
Malkith.
Malkith realizes it, right. He sends his, like, right-hand man.
Portrayed by Christopher Eccleston, the Ninth Doctor?
Yes.
Ninth Doctor.
Is the Dark Elf. Yeah, that's right.
He's the actor who played the Ninth. He was the first Doctor when they rebooted Doctor Who in 2005. The modern Doctor Who in 2005.
And he's fantastic in the movie.
Yeah.
Yes, and what's his face? The three warriors. They replace the actor in there from the first Thor.
Oh, yeah, the guy that looks like Gimli, right? The dwarf guy is the same guy.
Right, right. The big fat guy is the same.
Right.
The Oriental Warrior is the same. But the guy with the goatee,
right, he's a new guy. Right,
Levy.
Yeah, he's a new guy.
Zachary Levi. Yes.
Right, right. Yeah, and so he has a more prominent role in this one, right? Well, they all have a more prominent role. Anyway. Yeah,
yes. Now, so now the evil guy is planted in the cell. Loki is like, right, something's going on here.
Well, yeah. When he's like on fire, and he kills the other guy.
Right. And that enables him to break through
the barrier, like the
electric shield there.
Right. Yes. And then he's leaving, and then Loki goes, "If I was you, I would take the staircase to the left."
And he hears him, and he goes, "Okay, this guy knows something." Right. Right. Yeah. Obviously, it's like a mental note. Basically.
Yeah. But okay, if Loki's so bad, you know, it's just, he couldn't have said, he didn't have to say anything, and everything would have been saved.
No, but he's the god of mischief. Am I right?
Yes, he is the god of lies.
Right.
Which I think what we need to do is have a break.
Sure.
And then we will
continue
from the point where the evil guy goes up the staircase. So we'll be back after these messages. And we're back.
Yes, and this is a crucial plot point, because basically all hell breaks loose in the dungeons of the Asgard.
Because of Loki.
Right.
Because if Loki didn't go up that way, and just like going the normal way.
Correct. He would have met more resistance, or guards, or Thor, or something.
Yeah, because they mow through everybody. Then the rest of the alien ships come and start tearing apart.
But the key thing is by him going up that staircase, and who's Idris Elba's character again? I'm sorry.
Heimdall
puts up the shield, mm-hmm. but the bad guy with the horns in the prison, mm-hmm. he knocks out the shield so the ships can enter, penetrate, yes. and then they literally crash. They do
through
a they,
there.
It's like take, a kamikaze. They had,
yes, they plow through and take apart the main...
Right, most of the main antechambers
and
of course
the whole thing.
Right.
And so now, Jane Foster and... Odin's wife.
Yeah, I forget her name. Right, but
Frigga, right?
Frigga. Exactly. They're hiding out.
She goes, "Do everything I tell you to do."
Right,
and she's like, "Well, all right,
okay,
and
okay, then, mom." No, not yet.
And so she, so that bad guy meets the mom, and she's like, "Okay, I have claws, and I'm going to show you." So
they
beat each other out. You know,
but Frigga, she can hold her own. I mean, she takes on Malekith. I mean, she's fighting him she's handing his ass to him.
Yeah.
And like, damn, I like this. You know, I like this Rene Russo character. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the first movie, she's there, but she's just a figurehead, basically.
But
right?
Malekith is sensing that the aether is in Foster, so he's looking for her.
Right, he's trying to track her down.
But
remember, the key phrase is he finally captures her, mm-hmm. and she, I'll never tell you where the aether is. He says, I believe you, and then he kills her. Right, exactly. Right. So she's basically
protecting Jane.
Yes. Right, but in essence, he realizes, okay, I believe you. It's not you, right? I'm sensing that. Yeah. So it's somewhere.
And then Jane Foster disappears because they use the same powers as Loki has of creating illusions,
right.
And she disappears. She was never there.
Correct, right, right.
And
right,
then, the little, yeah, then the... Thor shows up, Odin shows up, wife's dead, they take off.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Because they have what they wanted.
Correct.
Which was the ether.
Correct.
And so they do a Viking burial in space instead of at sea.
Right. Well, I mean, there's the waterfall. So the ship goes over.
And it's off into space.
It's a long sequence, but it's a beautiful sequence. It's very emotional.
Proper thing.
Right. And then
she sparkles away.
Right, because he
fires an arrow.
And sets the boat on fire. Exactly. And then she becomes... And that's
parts again, of space.
That that's almost a little Avatar-esque to me. That looked a little... I'm just...
It kind of reminds me of how Odin goes.
Well, okay, right.
Yeah,
right,
we
right.
can. That's yeah. for another film.
Yeah, another film.
Another film. Another podcast. Okay. Yes. Anyway, it's a touching scene,
and they do the proper thing for the Odin's wife, and so now he's grieving for the queen.
Right, they're grieving, and remember, they haven't told Loki yet, so they have to go tell Loki while he's in jail, mm-hmm. when he's in the
and he
cell.
He tears the place
yeah,
apart.
Well, whatever he is.
No, I think it's because he let the bad guys then, because if he didn't say go to the left, none of this would have happened. So quite possibly, right.
So he tears apart his cell. Right, he goes to the ape shit in the cell, which would make sense. And then, so yeah, moving on.
The convergence is happening. The clock is ticking.
Clock is still ticking.
Ether is growing stronger because of the convergence.
Right. So they lost this round, but the ether is still getting stronger, and convergence is still happening. Hurry up.
On Earth, they figured this out because of all, they figure out the cross lines and all this stuff, so they know it's happening in Greenwich.
Yes. Eric Selvig is at Stonehenge naked with the
right. And he gets arrested.
And that's the scene where Stan Lee is in. Yes. Eric Selvig's in like the infirmary, insane asylum in London.
He's explaining all this stuff.
He has the chalkboards out, and I'm like, I know he can't be telling this to real students.
I really thought it was a lecture, and then they pull back, and he's in an insane asylum, and then Stanley's like, "Can I have my shoe back?"
Right, he took his shoe for the explainer. Yeah, so he's in a wraps, and so as Jane's realizing this, she gets the idea, and then Jane's assistant mm-hmm. Ian, the mm-hmm. young guy, mm-hmm. he shows.
Yeah, that's right, the assistant.
Right, the assistant. Exactly. Anyway, that's how they call him most of the time in the movie. He shows.
The intern of the intern.
That's right. Yes.
So he shows Kat Dennings' character that, hey, this is your guy, right? Here's your guy on TV. He's just arrested. He's in the jail. So they go spring him as the intern's intern. They say that's his father.
Yes.
This is young Selvig here to pick up his father with all the equipment. So they're checking him out because they need him.
Right.
And mm-hmm. As they leave the insane asylum, he like throws out his medication. He says, I don't need this medication. He throws out the medication and he says, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And
so he finally gets back to normal.
Right. So because he knows the convergence is happening for this calculation, and clock is ticking.
Yes, because we're seeing the planets starting to align.
Right, to align the nine realms.
So yeah, Thor and Loki try to go to where the dark elves are to try to take them out there.
Right. Well, they take Idris Elba's character. What's it?
Heimdall
sits down at this table where Thor's drinking or at some place and says, "Look, I'm going to ask you to do something you really can't do." He says, "Well, you're asking me to commit treason." He says, "But then they're talking the plot."
Right.
And so the plot is, they have to transport off-world, create a diversion, take Jane, and then it's basically Jane Foster, Thor, and Loki get transported to I forget which planet, but
that realm where the
dark elves,
where they're massing.
Because and Loki goes like, I don't think this if this plan doesn't work, you're going to get us all killed.
Right. So we'll be in prison for the rest of our lives, or we'll be dead. Yeah, one of the two.
And
so they go to the world. And they're there. Malekith is there with his arm, with some soldiers, mm-hmm. and of course, but they're on the top of this mountain.
Right.
And then he says, "Well, at least give me a knife or something." Because he's in handcuffs. I don't trust you, brother.
He takes him out of the handcuffs, right,
and he gives him at least give me a knife. He gives him, and then in essence, he stabs Thor right away.
He falls
right.
and rolls down.
Rolls
the hill.
Down the hill.
Right. So it's kind of like showing you there that Thor doesn't trust Loki, and for good reason. And then when he finally says, "Okay, I'm gonna trust him," then Loki shows why he shouldn't be trusted.
And then the Dark Elves see this.
Yes, they're literally witnessing this Asgardian.
Like, and then the bad guy goes, "Well, I saw him in jail with me." And
he
verifies that, and he's like, "Okay, he must be on our side."
Right, and
so they get really close to them.
Right, Loki says, "I just want to watch Asgard," something like, "I want to watch Asgard burn, and I want a front row seat."
Yes.
Right.
So I pledge my allegiance or something like that.
Yes.
So, of course, he's there with the knife.
Everybody drops their guard.
Right, exactly. Everybody drops their guard. And but Thor, looks like he cut his arm off.
They fight, and he cuts his arm off, so he's lying on the ground and going,
"My arm, my arm, my arm." Jane Foster's witnessing this. She's like, oh my God, this is all falling to pieces. I'm screwed. I'm dead, whatever.
I want to know when they had time to go talk without her around.
She was asleep on that barge, or at least out of it. But that's the trick to let everybody's defenses down, basically.
Right, to get close to them, to take them out.
Right.
And then you see magically the arm appears because it was never cut off to begin with.
Exactly,
because it's Loki's deception, hologram.
Because again, he's the god of mischief, so he can deceive.
Deceive.
Right. So then, boom, they go nuts.
If you remember last week's episode got his arm cut off.
Correct.
Here we have another
Killian, right? Killian actually gets his arm, but it regenerates.
Thor gets his arm cut off.
Right, exactly. So but it was right, not really cut off, but you believe? I honestly believe it was cut off.
I was like, oh crap!
Kind of like in Star Wars, where people's hands are
always getting cut off. Yeah. So I felt like
similar trope.
Yes, I felt like, okay, here we go again. It's the same arm, by the way. No, it wasn't.
No, this is the other. This
arm.
Is the left one.
The right one.
Doesn't matter. It was fake.
Yeah, it was fake. And they get close, and they start taking everybody out.
Right, and there's the fight with Thor's hammer. They're going nuts, but it's a tough battle. It's a really tough battle.
They do get the dark energy out of Jane.
Yes.
And they go back to Earth.
But remember, Loki dies.
Loki dies. Oh, yeah. That's right. And Thor
does. Loki's trying to save Thor.
He appears to die.
We're using air quotes here.
Air quotes, everybody. Right. So Thor is being beaten up by the super duper monster. Right. And then Loki comes to his rescue. I mean, literally, Thor's on his on the ground,
right.
And you see the guy about to go over him,
right.
And there's a sword that just pierces the right monster from the back,
right.
And then you see Loki show up, and then the guy grabs Loki and spears him through, spears Loki,
right. He uses it to kill.
But Loki. while that happens, I think, or right before, Loki puts that little ether bomb on the back of him.
Oh yes,
and that sucks him into the hellscape or something, because
those bombs were used when they were attacking Asgard.
Correct.
And it sucks him into another dimension. It crushes him, and he's gone.
So, go ahead. No. I'm saying so Loki wasn't planning on dying.
Right.
But he gets stabbed through this heart,
and then the
super monster is gone.
Thor freaks out, and Thor's
crying over his brother.
And he tells him that he'll tell their father of how he died
in honor of saving them.
That scene plays a very important part in Thor 3. Just keep that in mind.
But also plays a very important part to the end of Thor 2.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Very much so.
Right.
So they go back to Earth because the convergence is happening. They're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? And in the meantime, Jane Foster and their group have developed devices to be able to control or to be able to hold reality together as much as they can.
Correct.
And so they plant all these devices all over
Greenwich.
And then the alien craft comes because they're going to use the ether to finally open up the dimensions and take over everything.
Destroy the universe as we know it, the realms.
You can see through the sky that they're coming together. Right. It's almost aligned.
It's basically like a 9-realm eclipse is what it looks like, more or less.
Which will open up all of realities, and they can do whatever they want with it.
And so when they, in essence, the Malekith's ship crash lands
right in front of that
square, and of course the Dark Elves start fighting with their guns, and so they're they're shifting. They're portaling people through, and I think the key thing is Kat Dennings' character, the intern. Mm-hmm. She gets hit by a blast, and she falls by a Mini Cooper.
Oh, I love this part.
And then so she's about to get toasted by one of the elves, and the intern lifts up the car and throws it and crushes them. Right, because again the laws of physics are suspended.
Yes,
because he saw that the car was floating. Right, a couple inches. So he just said, "Hey, what the hell?
I could do this."
Yeah.
And then they start making out. They pop out of this dimension, pop into another one, and then pop back into this dimension.
Right, in front of Jane Foster. So what are you doing?
Hi, Jane.
Right. So a lot of humor in this movie.
Creatures are popping in and out of this dimension to other dimensions.
Thor's fighting with Malekith, and they fall into the planet where Loki died with cars. Everything's gone haywire.
The hammer is trying to follow him, so it goes out into space because it's kind of like, well, I can't. You know, Thor's hammer doesn't understand. You know,
these dimension things.
The dimension door is closed, so I have to take the long path to get to him.
Right. All dimensions and laws of physics are totally suspended at this convergence.
And things are blinking in and out of existence.
It's total insanity. It's very strange.
And the clock is ticking, and so now it gets to the point where they have to use the device. And all this stuff, it's almost like Avengers because they have to close the portal.
Right. Well, this is a 9-realms portal. Right. Exactly. Right.
So,
I think it's a very, I like the idea. I mean, obviously, the ether, the dark elves, it's an addition. I don't know about the comic, if the dark elves were in the comic books. Okay. Right. So that's introduced. It's a great villain. Well, you know,
again, like with Iron Man's storylines, where they hit all the major storylines. They hit a lot of the story major storylines, but there is so much rich untapped stuff it's so complex in the comic books that just there's no way they could have tapped onto other storylines
sure.
without having to go deep into it. Right. There was no way of just mentioning things like they did in the Iron Man
sure.
trilogy.
Sure.
They chose
zeroed in on some plots. Yeah, no,
they can do 9 movies with Thor.
Oh, I'm sure they
and
could.
Not finish.
I'm sure. But they've done 3, and I think they're fantastic, all of them. And I think this is a great movie, too.
And so now, you know, the final battle's happening, everything, and this giant creature thing.
You're right. It almost looks like a Rancor. Like a very demented Rancor
so
from Return of the Jedi.
On Earth, and he's running around destroying
Causing havoc, destroying things.
Yeah. And so now they're having to close the portals and get all this stuff done. And so how does this end?
Well, I mean, it's
I don't remember, and I just got through watching the damn thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, the key thing is with Thor. I mean, he's battling. Like I said, he's battling Malekith again. I don't get his name right. I'm sorry.
He kills.
Well, they eventually use the equipment to send Malekith back to the Dark Elves world,
right.
And he's crushed by his ship. His ship.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
They portal him to the ship.
And then the ship is crashing. Thor is unconscious. Jane throws himself over him. She's trying to get him out of the way.
Right, but she thinks the ship's about to crash. But they portal Selvig, and that's what finally destroys Malekith on it. I think it's his planet. Because it crushes him.
Yeah, instead. Jane couldn't get Thor out of the way because he's a giant beast and he can't move him.
So she throws herself
over him and going like, okay, this is it. I'm going to get crushed with him. It doesn't happen. They get on to the other dimension. The ship crushes him there.
Yes.
And then since they prevented the convergence from happening, everything goes back to normal.
Right. Physics comes back. Right. Everything.
All the portals are closed and everything. And they make out.
The intern, right, exactly. But I think the key thing is going back to what we said about Loki. So we think Loki is dead.
Right. So then Thor goes back to Asgard and goes like, "Oh, I am so sorry."
Right.
And he goes, "I'm sorry, Father."
Odin wants him to be king.
Odin says, Asgard, you should be king.
And he goes,
he declines it and tells him that Loki's.
Loki's dead.
Right, and Odin is lamenting this. He's lamenting this while sitting on his throne.
And here's an important part. You know, Thor goes, he says, "I'd rather be a good man than a great man than a good king."
Right.
And he goes, "I don't deserve this." And he starts handing Thor's hammer back to Odin.
And Odin steps back
and goes, "No, you keep
that's
that.
Yours.
Now,
as long as you're worthy of it."
Yeah, you're worthy of it. The reason why Odin doesn't take it is because
Odin is really Loki.
Yes.
Correct.
Somewhere along the line, while Thor was on Earth finishing the convergence,
There's a hint to it. Near the end, the Sentinel, the Asgardian soldier, goes back to the world and says there was a body. And Odin goes, "Thor?" He goes, "No, we didn't find him."
But he gives a smirk.
Right. He doesn't say it's Loki, but obviously.
No, the soldier was Loki at that point.
Of course it was. Right, but he never says it was Loki.
So in the scene where Odin is talking with Thor, once Thor leaves, he turns his head to the camera and then it's revealed that it's Loki.
So basically Loki is Odin.
He's pretending Loki's alive, he's pretending to be Odin and he's hidden Odin away.
Somehow or another he got a drop on Odin and Odin's gone.
Correct.
So therefore,
the god of mischief is constantly living up to his name.
Yes, he wanted to be king.
He's now king under false circumstances.
Right.
Because Thor.
Does that sound familiar?
Right, but Thor declined. Right, Thor declined.
Right,
and he says, "If he had said yes, that would have been an entire thing."
Right, but he wants to go. As he says in that speech, "I want to protect Earth and the other realms.
And this is the way I can do it is by being in the trenches and not."
Right. He can't be if I'm king of Asgard.
Yeah. So I'm better off running around doing this and then telling other people how to do it.
So it's like the ultimate turnaround, because you think Loki, first of all, you think Loki's gone, he's in prison, he's at the end of the first movie, he's dead, yet he somehow winds up on the throne at the end of the movie.
Yeah, he got what he wanted, and then Thor goes back to Earth, and he makes out with...
Right.
Well, that isn't that a...
That's the end scene.
That's the end credit scene.
That's the end credit scene. So that's the end scene.
And then they show that rancor creature
back. Running around.
The mid-credits scene is Thor flies back and he...
Well, no, that's... I thought that's the end credit
scene. That's the actual end. Right.
The mid-credit scene is where two of the warriors are delivering the ether, which is revealed to be one of the Infinity Stones.
Correct. Yes.
To the collector, and they say because they already have the Tesseract on Asgard, it's not good to have two Infinity Stones in one place.
On the same planet, right.
And then the collector goes one down,
five to go.
Exactly. And he's smirking and laughing.
Right.
Yes.
Right, so that's that scene. And then the final little, when all the credits are over, they show, like, the rancor creature
chasing
like, birds and stuff. He's, like, running.
I'm like, why don't they use that creature later on? I mean, just, you know.
The rancor, you can't control it. The Thor rancor.
You know that shield probably took it somewhere.
Whatever.
But it just, I want to see that creature show up again somewhere.
Well, and actually, in the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right around the time that this film came out, they did an episode where they were cleaning up in London after the battle there.
Oh, okay. See, no Rancor, though?
No, they didn't mention Rancor.
But see, you know, Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s TV show deals with a lot of what happens in the movie. So every time there's a major plot point in the movie, they address
they pick it up.
In TV.
Sure,
pick it up.
Sure. And that makes sense. That makes sense.
That is the reason why they delayed this season 7.
Well, that makes sense.
Or is it season 6?
Season 6
until after Avengers Endgame.
Yep. Sure.
Then it's going to be that because they deal with the aftermath.
The effects of Endgame.
Of Endgame, which, of course, a lot of staff is gone, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so now we got this all set up. Again, the after credit scene doesn't deal with anything.
The Infinity Stone part.
They're taking the Infinity Stone to the collector, so they lay that foundation.
Right. The Jane Fonda romance, Jane Foster romance is, you know, just a little tying a knot.
Yeah,
yes.
So now they're together. The two interns are together. Finally, she gets a boyfriend.
Right. Whatever. And so the Rancor's right around London. And one Infinity Stone is with
the collector.
The other one is in Asgard.
Asgard, right?
The Tesseract.
So now we're aware of two.
We're aware of two at this point. And this is the seventh movie in.
Eighth movie. And we got two down
Infinity
out of six.
Stones. Right. Exactly. Yes. So we should say what's your ratings now? Buy,
buy, stream, or skip? I'm going to have to say stream on this one, and I've said buy on every single one up to now.
Okay,
I would say stream as well.
I own all three of them. I have them all on Blu-ray.
So 4K.
Yeah, I'm a buy. Absolutely.
Okay, now out of these two, which Thor 1 and Thor 2, which one do you like the best so far?
Thor 1.
Thor 1's the better movie. There's no question. I mean, it's the origin story. It's my favorite origin story. No question about it.
All right.
But this is still a good movie. Like I said, it fleshes out. You know,
it builds more on the characters. They needed more Queen.
And there's more Queen. Odin goes into his backstory, which is crucial to see.
And I love the book sequence.
Yeah, the book sequence. So there's a lot more meat to the Thor universe.
We saw more of Asgard, so we understand it more.
Yeah, and again, all right, excellent character, plot movement, character development, which is what you need. You don't want one-dimensional superheroes because that's a dime a dozen. Nobody's going to come see it. You want real. They're superheroes, but real.
And I
lives.
Like it. And again, they're doing the thing where the villain has to die. And it just, I'm glad they got away from that in later films where you could bring those villains back.
Well, who was the real villain in this movie? Was it Malekith?
Malekith.
Yeah.
Or is it Loki? I'm just saying. Loki's crucial to other movies as well.
Because if he didn't tell the bad guy to go left up that staircase, none of this would happen.
So again,
but also, if Loki hadn't helped, they wouldn't have defeated him.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right, Ethan. All I'm saying is that's why I love this movie. The meat on the bones of the characters is so developed.
Okay.
There's my two extra cents.
All right. So,
That's Thor 2, people.
It's Thor 2.
Yeah, right. I think that's a good wrap.
Okay, and this is number 8. And
number we got 8 of 20.
More to go, and this is number 2 in Phase 2.
Yes.
And Phase 2 has 6 movies in it, which is one of the most packed ones.
Yeah. Yes.
But some of the best meaty ones are coming up.
Coming next.
And, Fast and Furious.
And those may be a little bit longer. But hey,
we have to
really go into them because now all the little seeds are being planted now.
Yes.
Now they're done worrying about getting the movies out the door. Now they're worrying about planting seeds for growth. So everybody, don't forget.
Where can we find us?
Where can you find us is at geekculture.online. You can follow us on Facebook at geekcultureonline, Instagram at geekcultureonline, my favorite at Twitter at
Your Geek Culture. My favorite, Patrick.
Now, one thing we neglected to say is that you write me directly at Patrick at Geek Culture Online. You can write to Larry at Geek Culture Online and Ethan at Geek Culture Online. You can follow the podcast on the website at Geek Culture Online. You can follow us on iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, any place else
Apple
that
podcast,
you're able to get your podcast. Rate, like, and subscribe to us on all those platforms.
Right.
And then next week, we are going to be doing, what is the next one?
Captain America.
Winter Soldier.
Excellent movie, but
that's gonna be exciting.
Comment about Thor 2.
Yes.
And we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us, and we'll respond.
All right, and thank you, and until next week.
Bye-bye.